Well, the James Knox, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in DeLand, Florida, you come and preach for us tonight.
It's an honor to warm up the crowd for Brother Joel Logan. My friend, appreciate the invitation, appreciate this good church. Your pastor has been a blessing to our church. Thank you for letting him venture forth and preach in other places, and we really enjoy his ministry when it comes our way. I probably shouldn't do this, but I'm going to experiment on you this evening, and we'll just have a little Bible study here, and then Brother Joel can come and preach. Brother Jim Falour has a book that I trust most of you have read by now on the 23rd Psalm. Tonight, I want to bring you a message on the prequel to the 23rd Psalm. If there were no Psalm 22, there would be no Psalm 23. And I found some time ago in reading through these two Psalms, every blessing I enjoy in the 23rd Psalm is because Jesus Christ went without that blessing in the 22nd Psalm. He took my place in death so that He could bring me into His place in life. And I want to just try and compare the two with you together for a few minutes this evening, and then we'll turn things over to Brother Logan. Father, please help me to tell the truth in the way that You'd have it told. I pray, Father, that You would give us all a good understanding, not just of the words written on the page, but of what our blessed Redeemer has done for us. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. And amen. So we'll just be going back and forth this evening from the 23rd Psalm to the 22nd Psalm. But let's do something different. Let's read Psalm 23 when we're not in a funeral. Let's read it in a church service. The Lord is my shepherd. I like the present tense. I shall not want from this day forward. He maketh me to lie. No, That's some of our old church members. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I don't understand this modern generation that says the Lord is their shepherd and they're following Him, but He never leads them in the paths of righteousness. I believe you follow in the right shepherd. He'll lead you in the right way, and that'll be the paths of righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will. We're absolutely confident, we're completely sure, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That first phrase, the Lord is right now, present tense, in this moment, in whatever circumstance you're in, whatever situation you're facing, the Lord is my shepherd. They're not a sheep alive if it has any conscious knowledge of its surroundings or its environment, doesn't know that if I have a shepherd, I am not alone. If I have a shepherd, I am not abandoned. If I have a shepherd, I am not facing uncertain times and uncertain enemies by myself. I have someone present to protect, to provide, to guide, to all the things that we think of when we think of a shepherd. And yet look at Psalm number 22 and hear these words from the lips and from the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Why art Thou so far from helping me? That you couldn't imagine a good shepherd who was far away when the sheep needed him. You couldn't call a shepherd a great shepherd if he was not on the job. And yet, here the Lord Jesus Christ, as He hangs upon this cross, He cries out. There's no response. He calls for help. There is no help. Surrounded by enemies, death rising up before Him, and He calls and He calls and He calls, and Hebrews says, with strong crying and tears, and was heard. But there was no reply. He was heard. but none came to help. You know, tonight I can say the Lord is my shepherd because my Lord and my shepherd was forsaken by his Father. It's amazing. Look in that second verse of Psalm number 23. The Bible says, the second half of that verse, He leadeth me beside the still waters. Isn't that a beautiful thought? He leadeth me beside the still waters. Not turbulent waters, not violent waters, not roaring rapids or frightening waterfalls, but just you need a drink, it's right there. You need cool refreshment, it's right there. It's just a step away from where you are to the cool, refreshing, still waters. Look at Psalm number 22 and verse 15. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. You remember the words of Jesus Christ as He hung there in His passion on that cross? No complaint, no murmuring. But there was one word that came forth from His lips just before He died. I thirst. I thirst. That's just a little glimpse. You know, if you really want to know about the sufferings of Jesus, they're not in Matthew or Mark or Luke or John. If you want to know about the sufferings of Jesus, you have to go to the prophecies of the Old Testament. And in this 22nd Psalm, He didn't just thirst. He thirsted to the point that His tongue was cleaving to the roof of it. He is searching in vain for one, dare I say it, for one drop of water. As He suffers under the wrath of His Father for your sin and for mine. And after the Lord Jesus Christ hung on that cross and thirsted to the point where His tongue cleaved to His jaws and His strength was dried up like a potsherd, He could then say to you and to me in His resurrection, Him that cometh unto me shall never thirst. Out of His belly shall flow rivers of living water. He leads me beside the still waters. But what a price He paid to take us to that place. Again in Psalm number 23, in that second verse, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Doesn't that just sound like a nice place? Now, if you've been in Florida all or most of your life like I have, we're not talking about sand and sand spurs. We're not talking about different types of weeds intermixed with stinging nettles. We're talking about real grass. Thick, green grass where cattle can eat it and grow. You don't have to buy supplements and nutrition feed. I mean, it's grass. It's nice. Can't you picture those sheep out there? That grass just knee-high, and they're just going along, just munching and chewing and munching and chewing, and when they get enough, they just lay down in that grass, and it's so soft, and it's so refreshing. Who made that possible? The Bible says in Psalm 22, verse 16, look at the end of that verse, they pierced my hands and my feet. Uncomfortable is the wrong word. You can't imagine pain like nails driven through your hands. You can't imagine suffering like nails driven through your feet and then the weight of your body hanging from the nails in the hands and against the nails in the feet. And it just speaks of excruciating torture so that I can lie down in green pastures. I shouldn't be lying in the soft green grass. I should be nailed to a cross. I shouldn't be enjoying the sweet, refreshing nature. But there He is. Hanging there. Bruised and beaten and bloody. So that I, without giving it a thought, I just wake up in the morning and say my prayers. I wake up in the morning and I read my Bible. I have my breakfast, I have something to drink, I have fellowship with my family, I pick up the phone and call some Christian friends. It's just green pastures all day long. But not without Psalm 22. If He's not nailed to that cross, you don't get to lie in that sweet green grass. Look in Psalm 23 again. The Bible says in that third verse, He restoreth my soul. Isn't that amazing? He restoreth my soul. Somebody said this brother's been in India 40 years. Brother Stark serving the Lord all the years that he has. Many others of you I can see from looking out tonight, this is not your first year of salvation. And how many times has that church split brought you to the end? How many times is that disappointment or that death of a key man in the church or that family you thought that would never leave packed up and moved away? And how many times did your soul, how many times has my soul said, I can't keep doing this. I can't go on. And then came a song or a sermon or an answered prayer or the word from a friend or the nudging of the Holy Ghost. How many times has He restored your soul? How many times He restored your soul when you didn't even want Him to do it again? That's it. God, I'm finished. Leave me alone. And here came the restoration. And you said, like Jeremiah, okay, I can't quit. You said, but my heart was broken. No, you just thought it was. You said, but I was crushed beyond restoration. No, you just thought it was. I'll show you one that was. Psalm 22, verse 14. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. You know why God could restore you? Because you still had a heart. You know why God could restore you? Because you weren't completely finished. You know what Jesus Christ said as He hung on that cross? I have nothing left in my heart. I have given everything that I could give for the sins of the whole world. You know why God could restore your heart? Because Jesus' heart was poured out like wax. You know why God could heal your broken heart? Because His Son's heart was crushed under the weight of that sin on the cross. Thank God for Psalm 23. But thank God for Psalm 22 that makes it possible. Look at your Bible in Psalm 23 and again in the fourth verse. Yea, though I walk through, we like that, don't we? The valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Isn't that a great verse? We've all preached it. We've all heard it preached. I'll walk through the valley, but death won't touch me, just the shadow. I'll walk through the valley, but I won't be afraid. Go ahead and preach that. Because when you get to the nursing home or the emergency room, you'll be afraid. I mean, it's great in theory. It's great to preach. But I've sat a lot of bedsides, sat by one last week, and death is a scary thing. Deep down in my heart, deep down in your heart, when we get our thinking lined up with the Bible, when we believe and stand on these promises, we know. I'm just passing through life, and I'm just passing through death. And I'm going to live forever because of what Jesus Christ did. Death has lost its sting. The grave has lost its victory. We know that. We preach that. It's there in Psalm 23. Do you know why we can be so confident? Look at Psalm 22:15. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And Thou, God the Father, hast brought me, God the Son, not through the valley, not past the shadow, into the dust of death. You know why you can confidently say, death cannot hold me, because Christ died in our place. You know why you can confidently say, I will not fear the last enemy that is death itself? Because Jesus Christ allowed His Father to bring Him into the very dust, the dry, barren wilderness of death. And I'm going to breathe my last breath one day, maybe this day. I might be standing in front of you tonight and make the next point and then gasp and hit the floor. And before you can get here to see if I'm still alive, before death can get here to lay hold upon me, I'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Do you know why? Because on Calvary, when death came for Jesus, His Father stepped back and said, "You may take Him." He went into the very dust of death so that death could never lay its hands upon you. Praise the Lord. Whoo, what a Savior. What a Savior. "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." I do not recall Brother Jim's comments here, and if I in any way go against what he said, we're both right. My father had a rod and a staff and a belt and a fly swatter and all kinds of things. I never found them comforting. He would say, not pleasantly, "You ever heard him say, 'This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you?'" Said, "Yes." He'd say, "Don't believe it." And some of you modern parents with your two swats and your three swats. My dad exercised me under righteousness. I don't think this rod is one the shepherd uses to beat the sheep. I don't think this staff is one the shepherd uses to club the sheep over the head. I find a good shepherd finding a lost sheep in the Gospels. I don't see that kind of treatment. And I'll tell you who doesn't want to see that rod. That'd be a wolf. I'll tell you who doesn't want to see that staff. That'd be a sneaky coyote. You know why that sheep can lie down in those green pastures and not set a big, strong sheep for a guard? Because the shepherd's got a rod. You know why those sheep can stick their head down in that still water and drink to their heart's content without having one eye open to the right and one eye open to the left? Because that shepherd's got a staff. I don't know how many times today some devil made a run at me. And I never will. I don't know how many times today some temptation that was more than I could handle was waiting in my path and the Lord just sort of nudged me another direction, and I'll never know. I'm just glad I can go through this life knowing that I don't have to be occupied with wolves and coyotes and rattlesnakes because my shepherd's got something to beat their brains in with. What would a sheep do with a rod and a staff? It don't even have fingers. So the shepherd takes care of it. But look at verse 11 of Psalm 22. Jesus cries from the cross, "Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help." There's none to help. The disciples are gone. The apostles have fled. The crowd has turned on him. That's okay. I'm my Father's beloved Son, in whom He's well pleased. And then the lights go out, and Jesus looks up, surrounded by this terrible company that we'll read about in just a moment. And He says, "My God, my God, help, help." And the Father does not come with a rod to chase away the bulls of Bashan. And the Father does not come with a staff and stand guard as His beloved Son suffers. Instead, the Bible says, it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. Not you, who deserved it. Not me, who deserved it. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him so that that abandonment of Jesus, that I almost said the wrong word, that not failure of God, because it was purpose, they agreed upon it, but the Father did not come to help him. So that you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man should do unto me. You know why you know he'll never leave you? Because Jesus took your place in abandonment upon that cross. It's amazing. Look at that fifth verse. Thou preparest a table before me. That'd be good enough, wouldn't it? In the presence of mine enemies. It's not a good thing to do. We're not supposed to rejoice when our enemy falls, so we don't want him to fall. We just want him to see how good we've got it. I think I've grown a little in the Lord. I don't know, because we haven't had a real big split in a long time. But used to be when we had a real big split, I wanted God to do something to them to, you know, let them know they did the wrong thing. Now I've grown in the Lord. I just want Him to bless me so much that they get jealous. Don't hurt them. Just make them envious. Just spread a big table. Let me sit there and eat a big drumstick and drool in their face. We had three people saved Sunday and your split church had none. Ha ha. And we did it without a band. But you know that Psalm 23, it doesn't say there's no enemies. And it doesn't say they're a long way off. You got a good church? You have present enemies. You got a good ministry? You have present enemies. You have a good family? You have present enemies. But the Lord said, just pull up a chair. Let me tuck the bib in. Pour you a drink. Serve you a meal. And you just don't worry about them. Just enjoy sitting at my table. Having fellowship with me. Praise God. That's pretty good life. Pretty good life. What made it possible? Look at verse 13. Psalm 22, 13. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. Oh. I don't know what enemies are around your table, but it's not that guy. I heard these people say, the devil's after me. You're not that important. Maybe one of his fourth string bench playing reserve devils might come your way every once in a while. Most of my trouble is not the devil, it's me. I look in the mirror and say, get thee behind me, Satan. You know? But when Jesus on that cross, I mean, no joke. Look who's there. One who's like a roaring lion. A ravening lion, that's a hungry lion. He wants to tear somebody to shreds. You know what fell on Jesus Christ at that cross? The wrath of God against all sins for all sinners forever. You know what falls on you now that you're saved? Blessing, 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 blessing. I should be suffering wrath. I'm sitting at a table and the Lord is serving me. As my enemies look on and wonder why they can't get permission to tear me apart for what I just did. How can you bless him when he did that? How can you bless her when she did that? How can you bless that church when they got all these things wrong? And Jesus said, because I already paid for that. Whatever they had coming, I took it. What was that, Lord? Nothing, nothing. Just take care of a little business. You eat. And we just sit there at the table and have a great life. It's amazing. Verse 5 of Psalm 23, Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. This is God pouring out His good gifts upon us and pouring them out in such abundance that we can't contain them all. You put the cup out, would you like some tea? Yes. And the servant just keeps pouring and pouring and it's pouring everywhere. You say, that's enough. I can't take any more. That's okay. We got plenty. Want another pitcher? No, my cup's full. That's okay. We got plenty. That's the Lord. He's just pouring it on us. Look at His Son on the cross. Psalm 22, verse 14. I am poured out like water. Everything Jesus had on the cross, He poured it out as He paid for your sins. Now everything Jesus has, He pours it forth and pours it on. We are not emptied of all hope and all blessing and all joy and all peace and all love because He was. Now we're the recipients of all hope and joy and peace and love and blessing. Praise the Lord. Went out of Him so He could bestow it upon us. Incredible. Look at that sixth verse of Psalm 23. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I used to read Ephesians 6 and I would preach it like you preach it and I would teach it like you teach it and I would always point out that there's no armor for the back. I've got a breastplate, I've got a shield, I've got a sword, but I got nothing for back here. And then one day the light comes on. Goodness and mercy have that flank. Nobody's going to get me from behind when goodness and mercy are following me all the days of my life. Well, how'd that happen? Look at Jesus on the cross. Verse number 16, Psalm 22. For dogs have compassed me. Dogs have compassed me. Verse 12. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. Now, maybe in the next message, Brother Joel, he'll give you the details on those bulls of Bashan. Or Brother Brent tomorrow can touch on that. I'll leave that for them. But to compass is to encircle. Beset me around. That means enemies, foes, principalities, powers, creepy things, scary things, things only mentioned once in the Bible and they must be so awful, God's not even going to let you know what they are. They're all around Him and behind Him. Man, when I was a young Christian, I used to read these books about devil possession and unclean spirits and you know, Paredes, all that stuff. And I quit reading that stuff, man. Whatever the devil's doing, I don't want to know any more about it than I have to. Whatever's going on in that spirit world, let Clarence Larkin fight it out. I don't want to know. But I know this. Whatever snuck around behind Jesus to torment Him as He hung on that cross will never get around behind me. Whatever came up and bit Him from this side and bit Him from that side and tore Him over here and ripped Him over there, it will never come near me. Because goodness and mercy are keeping them at bay. But only because of what Jesus did for me on that cross. Now look at verse number 6, Psalm 23. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's said with such certainty. It's said in such an absolute confidence Lord, he wants you to lay hold upon this. I'm going to live in God's house. I'm going to live forever. I'm going to live with the Lord. Praise God. How could that be? Look at verse 4, Psalm 22, 4. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted. And thou didst deliver them. Verse 6, but I am a worm and no man. Verse 20. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth. But he didn't. Jesus gave up the ghost and died. Look at verse 15. We saw it once, we'll see it again. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. When our sins were placed on the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father began to punish the Son for your sins and for mine. Death came and took him, for the wages of sin is death. God the Father did not come and deliver him from that death. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And he was led into the very dust of death. And then 3 days and three nights later, he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Ascend to the right hand of the Father. And when you call upon him and trust him as your Savior, all these things in Psalm 22 that should have happened to you get credited to your account. They're already paid for. And instead of you, because of your sin, instead of me, because of my sin, being led to dwell in the dust of death forever, we are completely turned and given a brand new, everlasting hope and destination so that we can say, and I, the sinner, and I, the one who deserved the wrath of God, shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't that an amazing thing? Look at Psalm 22. Verse 22, here's the only response we could give to the truths of verse 1 to 21. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All ye the seed of Israel, for he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. When he cried unto him, he heard my praise. Shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. And all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him. And none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. There's your new birth. It shall be accounted of the Lord for a generation. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And here's what I'm doing tonight. And here's what you young people will do when I'm gone. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. This is my declaration to you tonight. He hath done this. Psalm 22. So I may enjoy this. Psalm 23. Praise God. Psalm 23 is wonderful. Without Psalm 22, there could be no Psalm 23. Praise, the songwriter said, praise the Savior, ye who know him. Who can tell how much we owe him? Gladly let us render to him. all we are and have. Amen. Father, thank you so much for sending your Son to suffer and die in our place that we might rejoice and live through Christ. Thank you, Father, for the 23rd Psalm. Thank you for the 22nd Psalm that makes it possible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Pastor.